the Father, who created all that is. And we believe the universe and all therein is His. As a loving Heavenly Father, He yearns to save us all, to lift us from the fall. We believe in Jesus, the Father's only Son, existing uncreated before time had begun, the sacrifice for sin. He died, then rose again to ransom sinful men. We believe in the Spirit who makes believers one. Our hearts are filled with His presence. The Comforter is come. The kingdom unfolds in His plan, unhindered by quarrels of man. His church upheld by His hand, we believe. Truths are secure, God's word shall endure. Whatever may change, these things are sure. We believe. So if the mountains are cast down into the plains, when kingdoms all crumble, this one remains. Our faith is not subject to seasons of men. With our fathers we proclaim, we believe our Lord will come as He said. The land and the sea,
Mrs. Garman, or Garner, sorry. I'm trying to do two things at one time, Miss Jan, sorry. Mrs. Garman, could you have done that? Okay, just wondering. And I don't know about you, but if you listen to that song, you know what? I believe that. I believe that. If I didn't believe what that song preached and taught by music, I wouldn't even be here today. I believe it. I believe every word of God is true. from Genesis to the book of Revelation, I believe it all. Listen, I wouldn't care if it said Jonah swallowed the whale. I'd believe that. Hey, if it's God's word, I believe it. Now, with that said, I believe what I'm about to read to you, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The title of the message this morning is in a question, what is possible with God? What is possible with God? Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Would you stand with me? Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 23. The scripture says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And let me stop and say this. You say, that's impossible. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle. Oh, yes, it can if God's involved in it. And just like I said, listen, I believe God can thread a camel through the eye of a needle. You see, the scripture then continues, "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things," not some things, not part of the things, "all things are possible." And I want to take that verse as our text verse in verse 27, and I want to speak to you this morning, what is possible with God? Now, Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to be in church. We're grateful that you allowed us to be born in a free country. Lord, there is probably not a single person under the sound of my voice that has ever been challenged with their life for teaching and preaching the gospel. But yet, Lord, that day and that hour may come. We must stand for truth. We live in a dark hour, not just in America, but around the world, which tells me that your coming is so close. We believe it, Lord. We believe in the second coming of Christ, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you have your way in this service, we pray this morning. We shall stop for this moment and give you all glory and all praise for all that not only you have done in our lives, but shall do today in this service and will do in the future. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the 1800s, possibly earlier than that, there was printed a collection of nursery rhymes called Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes. In that collection was a rhyme that went like this, which is my favorite of all. And it went something like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You see, first of all, if you've seen a picture of Humpty Dumpty, my question is, anybody in his shape certainly shouldn't be on a wall. Secondly, if you were like me as a kid, I want to know, how'd he fall? Was he pushed? Did he slip and fall? Did he fall asleep and fall off? Doesn't really matter how he fell off. The truth of the matter is, when he hit, he busted in pieces. And the scripture said the chances of men repairing him completely was zero. None. Nobody could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now here's a new version of that rhyme. Mankind lives on a big mud ball. Mankind took a great fall. All the religion, all the good works, all the community service, all the secular accomplishments, all the monies in the world couldn't put mankind back together again. But isn't it amazing how a little simple nursery rhyme has such a deep truth? And yet we today still practice, we think we can put everything back together ourselves. We think we have all the answers. We think it doesn't matter what happens or what comes in our life. We can take and put together our lives back together again. Now, I want to ask you a question. How long are we going to keep this up? How long are we going to keep believing that we have all the answers? How long are we going to continue searching for the pieces of hope and joy and peace in the world, or may I say, in ourselves? Can you allow me to rephrase this nursery rhyme one more time? You and I live on a big mud ball. You and I took a great fall. And may I say, only the love of God, only the grace of God, only the blood of Jesus Christ, only the power of the Holy Spirit, only the obedience of God's words can put you and I back together again. You see, people are looking in all places trying to find answers. You see, when are we going to stop living in the impossibilities of man and start living in the possibilities of God? When will we cease dwelling on what we can't do and start believing in what God can do? You see, we live, so many of us, defeated lives because all we ever focus on is what we can't do. And we stop believing on what God can do. I'm here to tell you today, I have a Bible full of the possibilities of what God has done. You say, what's possible with God? What can God do? My Bible says He can split a Red Sea and did it. Not only did He split the Red Sea, He allowed the people of God to cross over on dry ground. Not only did He split a Red Sea, He brought water out of a rock numerous times. You see, He dropped the walls of the impenetrable city of Jericho. He caused the sun to stand still and He made the barren womb fertile. You see, He delivered three Hebrew children out of a fiery furnace and Daniel out of the mouth of lions. He caused a virgin to conceive and give birth. He turned water into wine and healed the sick and made the lame to walk and the blind to see. You see, He calmed the storms and walked on the water. He was taking your sin upon Himself and became sin for you. You see, He's allowed His only begotten Son to be beaten and mocked and crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended back to heaven and now sits at the right hand of God. May I ask you today, this morning, congregation, what is our problem? What does God have to do anymore to prove to us that He can be trusted? That those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That little word possible just means capable, that someone has the power to do. You see, just as the Scripture said that all things were impossible with man, they are possible with God. He said all things are possible. The reason I know that, because just prior to Him ascending back into heaven, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That means if He has all power, that means He can do all things. You see, God's not going to spend precious time trying to convince you and I of His power. He's already done it. See, most of us were standing back waiting for God to prove Himself. He doesn't have to. He already has. He just simply wants us to believe. He just simply wants us to exercise faith in His promises. You see, He's already proved and displayed His willingness to release His possibilities on your life and my life. You see, just as He has all power, I'm here to tell you this morning, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. You see, in our story that we read in our text this morning, Jesus made the analogy to His disciples. He just simply said, how hardly is it that they say that a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? He said it's comparable to a camel passing through the eye of a needle. Now, I'm sure that His disciples at that time said, well, that's impossible. That's the reason He came back and He said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. If he wants to cause a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, he'll cause it to do so. If he wanted Jonah to swallow the whale, he'd have caused that to do so. And if either two of those would have taken place in the Bible, I'd have believed it. Because I'm just going to believe God. Now, I'm here to tell you today, folks, all things are possible with God. You say, prove it, preacher. What's possible with God? Well, first of all, let me say this morning. He can forgive the worst of sins. He can forgive the worst of sins. You know, 1 John 1:9, I quote that verse all the time, but it's such a great verse. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there's not a sin that's been committed in this auditorium this morning that God can't forgive. He can forgive the worst of sins. How many times have you ever knocked on a door and talked to someone, and the conversation begins to get steered in the direction, well, you don't understand, preacher, what I've done. You ever heard anybody say that? You don't understand, preacher, what I've done. I don't know if I can be saved. You're breathing, aren't you? As long as you have breath, there's still hope. As long as you're breathing, there's still hope. You see, He can forgive the worst of sins. You see that little voice that speaks to you up in your head that says God can't forgive sin? That's the devil. Because he wants you to buy into the idea that God's not all-powerful. God's not all-forgiving. But God can forgive the worst of sins. You say, how bad a sin, Brother Todd, can He forgive? How would you like to be responsible for the entire fall of mankind? How would you like to be Adam and Eve and be responsible for this entire mess that we're in? And yet God extended grace to them. Yet God extended mercy to them. Yet God forgave them. Yeah, it cost them the Garden of Eden. But you know something? God still fellowshipped with them. He can forgive the worst of sins. Take old Moses, for instance. Moses wasn't a perfect man. Moses made a lot of mistakes. Probably his greatest mistake that cost him more than anything in his entire life, you'll find in Numbers 20, when God told him, he said, well, it's time to, the folks need water again. He said, I want you to speak to the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses smote the rock twice. You say, what's so bad about that? Water still came out, didn't it? Yeah. But he didn't do it the way God told him to do it. And because he didn't do it the way God told him to do it, it cost Moses dearly. Because you know what Moses was chomping at the bits about? Get to Canaan land. His desire was to not only lead the people, but to complete the command and job he was given to complete. But because of disobedience, he didn't get to do that. But because we serve a merciful God, he allowed Moses to take a little peek at it and look over Canaan and said, you know what, this is what you could have had. May I say to you this morning, as a believer, if you're having trouble and struggling with trusting God, get on your knees someday and say, Lord, take me to the mountaintop and let me just take a little peek at what I can have. Take me to the mountaintop and let me look over my life and let me see, Lord God, what my life can be. You'd be amazed at what God can do. You'd be amazed at what God can do with the impossible. You see, we look at things and we think, oh, I can't do that. We make an appeal that we need somebody to drive a bus. Oh, I can't do that. Somebody to teach a Sunday school class. Oh, I can't do that. Somebody to do this. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Stop living in what you can't do and start living in what God can do through you. Stop living a defeated life because of sin. You see, Moses was forgiven. God blessed him and still used him. Samson committed some atrocious sins. And yet at the end of his life, God once again used him. You see, Samson was a womanizer. Samson was a liar. Samson was a deceiver. Samson was disobedient to his parents, treated his parents like dirt. Can I say to you, God still used him. See, I'm just here to tell you, he's willing to forgive the worst of sins. You see, here's what we think. What happens is the devil's got us convinced that the sin you committed yesterday or last night, nobody in the history of the world has ever done that. So you're the very first one that's ever had that wicked thought. You're the very first one that's ever done that atrocious deed. I'm here to tell you, that's not true. Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no sin under the sun that man has not already committed before God Almighty. And yet he was still willing to forgive Samson. Take David. You know, most of the time we mention David's name, instead of thinking of a great king, instead of thinking of the psalmist that gave us so many of the psalms, we always think of his sins, don't we? And you know, he mentioned to us that his sin was always before him. It wasn't that he didn't remember them. But yet God was able to take a man that had sinned, and probably, and most of us today, in our opinion, in such a way that we'd say, how can God use him? Because God can forgive the worst of sins. It doesn't matter whether it's adultery. It doesn't matter whether it was, in David's case, numbering the people and disobeying God. It didn't matter if it was the murder of Uriah. God can forgive him. Preacher, I just don't believe that. I believe there's some sins that God can't forgive. Wait a minute now. But what you're saying is not that he can't forgive them. What you're saying is he won't forgive them. And I'm here to tell you, that's unscriptural. You see, there's not a sin committed by man that God cannot forgive. He forgave Adam and Eve. He forgave Moses. He forgave Samson. He forgave David. He forgave Peter. Peter denied him 3 times. He even told the Lord he didn't even know him. And yet Jesus went to him and forgave him. I'm just here to tell you, what's possible with God? He can forgive the worst of sins. Say, what else is possible with God, preacher? Well, secondly, he can heal the worst of sicknesses. He can heal the worst of sicknesses. He healed 10 lepers. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see, the dumb tongue to talk. And probably his greatest work of healing sickness was the sickness of your soul. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he not only took your sins and my sins upon him, the Bible said he became sin for you. He can heal the worst of sicknesses. Take your Bible, go to Mark chapter 9, if you would please. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 14, if you would, please. Mark 9 and verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, skip down, if you would, to verse number 29. Skip down to verse number 29. Jesus cast this unclean spirit out of this boy. And in verse number 29, after his disciples came to him and said, Lord, we don't understand. Why couldn't we cast him out? And in verse 29, Jesus said unto them, this kind this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. See, here's how we want our loved ones to be healed. We want to say about a 5-word prayer and then hold God accountable. What we want to do is when we have a loved one that needs a touch from God, when we have a loved one that needs the healing hand of God, may I say to you that normally what he'll do is he'll touch you first before he touches them. He'll touch your life and bring you into a relationship with him. You see, what we want to do is we want to throw just a common prayer out there and expect God to do the impossible. You say, oh, I believe. Yeah, you showed it by your prayer and fasting. I'm just here to tell you, folks, we serve a God that can heal the worst of sicknesses. The worst of sicknesses. I wonder if his disciples learned the lesson when he told them. He said, you want to cast out devils? Pray and fast. You want to do this kind of work? There's a way to get it done. Prayer and fasting. Those are two foreign elements to most of us. But yet they produce the most when it comes to the things of God. What's possible with God? God can forgive the worst of sins. It doesn't matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, he can still forgive. He can also heal the worst of sicknesses. Let me say next, he can conquer the worst of situations. He can conquer the worst of situations. Let me give you a couple to think about here. First of all, Luke chapter 8, you'll find a story there as Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and he came upon the shore of the Gadarenes in Gadara. There met him a man that was absolutely out of his mind. He was a maniac. But what was causing him to be out of his mind is the Bible says he was possessed not with a devil, but with a legion of devils. He cut himself often. He lived among the tombs. Nobody had anything to do with him. And yet, the first person Jesus is confronted with is this maniac. And Jesus confronts this man and casts out that legion of devils out of him. And after he does, we find him sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. You see, that's what that kind of situation, when you get involved with the wrong crowd, when you get involved with the wrong things, it'll cause you to go out of your mind. Do you know what this man did because he was out of his mind? He cut himself. He lived, he ostracized himself. The scripture says he ran around naked among the tombs. And we got Christians out of their mind. We're acting like this guy. We're doing what this guy did. And yet, this maniac, once he met Jesus, made all the difference in the world. Found him clothed in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. You see, Jesus can conquer the worst of situations. And that was a pretty bad situation. You ever met anybody possessed of the devil? You ever been confronted with somebody that you thought had the devil in them? That's a pretty bad situation. But yet Jesus conquered that situation. May I say to you, we find another story in Matthew chapter 9, a man named Jairus, whose daughter had passed away. And you know what? He didn't go to the Pharisees. He didn't go to the religious crowd or the lawyers or the doctors. He had heard of only one and one only that could do what he needed done in his daughter's life. He took him to Jesus. And there when Jesus was confronted with this situation, which was death. By the way, can I say to you about death? It is impossible for a man to raise someone from the dead. Contrary to what you see on TV or what you hear on the radio or you read in some stupid book. It's impossible for a man to raise somebody from the dead. But not with Jesus. You say, oh no, Brother Todd. No, preacher, I've seen it with my own eyes. Then let me ask you this. If someone had the power to raise somebody from the dead, then why is there graveyards? Couldn't they be able to keep their own family from dying? Listen, folks, that's junk. No man can raise anybody from the dead. That's the reason Jairus couldn't go to a person. He had to go to Christ. And it was Jesus that raised her from the dead. You see, He came, He can conquer the worst of situations. But you know, the maniac of Gadara, that's a pretty bad situation. Jairus' daughter was dead. That's a pretty bad situation. But may I say to you, dear folks, that back in eternity past, there was even a greater and worse situation than this maniac and the death of Jairus' daughter, and that was the salvation of your soul. It was lost. The Bible says, and without hope in this world. You see, some of you may have gone through a time to where you felt times and things were hopeless, but they're not. You see, you've always got hope. As long as you're alive, there's always hope. But as far as finding some other way to be saved outside of Jesus Christ, that is hopeless. There is no other way. You see, basically what we've bought into is this Humpty Dumpty philosophy. We think that, you know what, we can go get people, or we can go to religion, or we can do this or do that, and that'll put our life back together again. But it won't. You see, God faced a situation of the lost soul of the entire world. And God conquered the worst situation ever presented to mankind. And that's a lost soul. Because over 2,000 years ago, my dear friend, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And He Himself became sin for us. He gave Himself a sacrifice for your soul and my soul. Allowed Himself to be crucified, beaten, buried. But thank God, He conquered the worst situation through His resurrection. Because 3 days and three nights later, He rose from the dead. Because 1 Corinthians 15 simply tells us, if Christ be not risen, then we are all men most miserable. You know what that word miserable, has anybody ever felt miserable? Can you imagine what it would be like if you had no hope whatsoever in this world? No hope of salvation, no hope of future, no hope of heaven, no hope, and all you had to experience was this old sinful body. You see, God can conquer the worst of situations. Let me give you one other thing to think about. Not only can He forgive the worst of sins, and not only can He heal the worst of sicknesses and conquer the worst of situations, may I say to you, lastly, He can save the worst of sinners. You say, the worst, you're talking about, yeah, I'm talking about anybody. Think of the worst individual that you could possibly think of in the history of the world. And if they had come to Christ, He would have saved them. If they would have come and repented and come to Christ, confessed themselves as a sinner, accepted His grace, He would have saved them. He can save the worst of sinners. You see, in John chapter 3, there was a religious man that came to Jesus by night. You know what Nicodemus' problem was? Confused. Anybody here confused about what you have to do to be saved? Their whole world's confused. You know why? Because you got umpteen jillion different churches preaching umpteen jillion different things. And the world's thinking, what's right? What's the truth? Well, that's what Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Jesus just simply told him this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Period. That's it. That can settle your confusion. You see, in the Scriptures, it's very plain. Remember the old Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Period. That's it. It doesn't matter. Listen, no strings attached. No evaluation of, oh, too many sins, too many bad sins. No, Nicodemus got born again. Think of just a moment, if you would, as Jesus is dying on the cross, remember two thieves, one on the right, one on the left? Both of them railing on him, and then one came to his senses. And he simply told Jesus, or asked Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Man, somebody would think, man, he's a thief. Wait, preacher. I don't believe that. I don't believe in people getting saved at the last hour. Well, then just go ahead and tear that out of your Bible then. Because, see, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, what we're saying, when we say, well, I just don't believe a murderer can be saved. I don't believe a rapist can be saved. I don't believe a child molester can be saved. I don't believe anybody that does those things can be saved. They ought to go to hell. Yeah, and so should you and I. Yeah, so should you and I. Because you know what dwells in the heart of man? A murderer, a rapist, a molester dwells in the dark pits of your heart. And if not for the grace of God, that could be you. See, he's willing to save the worst of sinners. And yet this man cried out in the 11th hour. And you know what Jesus turned to him and said? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Boy, he saved the worst of sinners. But may I say to you, don't turn there. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul mentioned about himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 15, I want you to listen to what Paul says here. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He considered himself the worst of the worst. You say, well, what would make him think that, preacher? Because he was guilty of having people imprisoned, killed, and persecuted for standing up for Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, it never left his conscience. He always remembered it. It never could escape him. And so he comes to the end of his life and he says, "I've come to the end of my life. And even though I've started churches, even though I'm responsible for millions of people being saved," he said, "I'm still the chief of sinners." Still the chief of sinners. See, he can save the worst of sinners because he saved, Saul of Tarsus, who said he was the chief of all of them. Now, here's the conclusion. The issue is not what is possible with God this morning, but rather what's possible with man. Because what God did for you, dear friend, this morning is this. He put inside you, the day that you were conceived in your mother's womb, faith. And he knew that you were going to be confronted one day about the issue of your soul. And you can take that faith by your free will choice and believe God. And put it all in Jesus Christ. We read just a moment ago Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 where Jesus said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. The Scripture is very plain also in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Say, where does that faith come from, preacher? It comes from God, which put it in you so that when you were confronted with the gospel, you could exercise it. You say, I just don't have enough faith to be saved. Yeah, sure you do. Yeah, you got enough faith to be saved. You say, how can I tell I've got enough faith? Well, you ladies, when you go to the grocery store and you go down the aisle and you're pushing your little buggy and you reach up there and you get a can of green beans you put in your basket, you don't open up and make sure there's green beans in there, do you? When you go out this morning and get in your car, you don't open the hood up, tear your engine down to make sure it's all together and running properly, do you? Now, you know what you do? You exercise faith, don't you? Now, God says take that same faith that you exercise on a regular and daily basis and just simply put it in Jesus for your salvation. Hey, you trust Del Monte, trust Jesus. You trust Ford, trust Jesus. It's the same faith. Now, when are we going to stop playing games now? When are we going to stop this Humpty Dumpty philosophy that it's up to us? It's up to us to pick up all the pieces and put our life back together again. What's possible with God? He can save the worst. He can forgive the worst of sins. He can heal the worst of sicknesses and conquer the worst of situations. But may I say to you this morning, He can save the worst of sinners. When are we going to move out of the impossible of man and into the possibilities of God? Would you bow your heads with me this morning for just a moment? Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you would say this morning, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I have no question about it. I remember when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know if I died today, I'm going to heaven. No question about it." I want you to slip your hand way up high as a testimony before God. Just slip it way up high and say, "That's me. That's me. I've been saved. I've accepted Christ."